God been good to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's going to be good to you this morning. Amen. I said he's going to be good to you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. In James it says, man, listen, if you need anything, come to God and ask him. Because he'll give liberally without any wavering at all. But he said, don't come if you're doubting. Because don't think that a man who doubts will get anything from God. We have to be single-heartedly after his face. Glory to God. I believe that when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm right before the throne room of God. Right? I believe at the name of Jesus we can cast out devils. At the name of Jesus, sick people will be healed. Right? I've laid my hands on sick people before using the name of Jesus, and there's been instant manifestation. Hallelujah. I remember one lady came in, and she was had a walker and all of that, and was riddled with lupus. But she didn't need the walker after service. And she didn't need it again. Not because I'm all of that, but because he's all that, right? Amen. I am all that because I'm in him, and he's made me all of that. But it's not about me, it's about him. Glory to God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, I expect to receive from your word as we're looking at it, as we're reading it. We thank you, Father, for your anointing upon your word. And I just want to give you glory and honor and praise for everything that you're doing for us. And Lord, you've told us and you've instructed us to worship you. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Lord, as we're giving you our hearts, we're giving you our lives. And Lord, we just will settle for nothing less than our complete surrender to you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I didn't put this in the notes, but I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning because I feel instructed to on a subject that is necessary, a subject that you need to hear, a subject that if you miss, and it's not like you're not going to go to heaven, but there's a great advantage that God has given to us, and yet I don't think we rely on it enough. And if you look in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 9, listen to this. He said, "For I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find." Come on. "Knock and it will be opened to you." For everyone. Say everyone. Whenever there's an each one or an everyone, I say I'm one of those. So I'm an everyone. I'll get you a little later, but I'm an everyone. I'm an each one. Where God so loved the world, I'm a whosoever, right? I'm a whatsoever. I'm part of the clan. He's in me and I'm in him. But watch this. He said, if I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. To him who knocks, that's me, it will be opened. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
Let me ask you again. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Right? So, you should be able to rejoice when you ask.
Come on. Yeah.
You should be able to have a shouting fit when you knock.
Yes.
Right? Lord, I'm coming. And it may not be here tomorrow, but it's on its way. So, I receive it for myself, even right now, Lord, because if you said, I did this, you said I would have this. Look at verse 11. It says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Of course not. Of course not, unless there's something sick in their head, right? Unless they're demented or whatever, if a son comes up to, you know, my son, my grandson, my granddaughter, heck, your kids, If they'll come up to me and ask me for something, I'm going to give it to them. Right? A, because I can, and B, because I want to, and just because I love them. Right? Now watch this next one. It says, or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How many like to give good gifts to your kids? How many have ever felt like at Christmas time, you go, you know, man, I just wish I had more money because I'd really like to buy that thing that they really want, but I just can't afford it because I just don't have the resources to do it. But if I could, I would, right? So put yourself in this verse. Because he said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know that the Holy Spirit's been given to us, right? As a body, as a church, as believers, the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. Right? In fact, in 1 Corinthians, it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means where we go, He goes. Where He... Come on. But is our temple being used as a place of worship? Are we cleansing our temple so we can worship Him? Do we really believe this? You see, because if we really believe this, our lives will be different. Fear has to go. Why? Because the love of God has been granted to me, but I've got the Holy Spirit with me. So whatever I'm going, even if you all leave, right? Even if everybody in my life leaves me, the Holy Spirit's still with me.
Yes.
Why? Because my Father gave Him to me. Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it's just so cool. It's so cool because He said, you have the Holy Spirit, and there's different manifestations. It's all the same Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek word, we don't have that kind of tense in the English, but the Greek word means be being filled. Continually, on an ongoing basis, be being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled. I'm being filled.
Yes.
With the Holy Spirit. Even though I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, resides on the inside of me, I can be being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? When I get depressed, I need to press.
Yes.
Let me just say that again. When I have the feel, I don't even claim depression anymore, but when depression comes and knocks at the door, it doesn't belong to me because God's not the author of depression. The thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, and depression is not abundant life. Right? So when depression comes and knocks at the door, I have to say, wait a minute, you don't belong here. See, the Bible says to submit to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you if you try really hard. Is that what he says? No, he said, if you submit to God, that means to worship him, as we've been talking about, submit to him, and then just say, Father, I just submit all my life to you. I'm coming to you. Devil, knock it off. You don't even belong here. I'm going to use the name on you. I'm going to talk to you about the blood, right? But the enemy will try to lie to you and say, listen, everybody gets the blues. Right? Everybody gets the blues. You might as well just get the blues along with everybody else because, you know, it's not me. Not me. I'm going to speak on praying in tongues this morning, but it might take us a while to get there. Right? I've just got to do this. And so I was hadn't been saved but a couple of months. And, you know, it's one of those moments that you're driving along. I can still remember the car I'm driving in. I was driving through West Seattle because that's where I worked, and over the West Seattle Bridge, the old West Seattle Bridge. And I'm driving, and I said, "Lord," you know, because I'd heard lots of Christian. "Lord," he said, I said, "how come there's no good Christian blues?" That's what I said. And this is what he said to me. He said, "There's no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. There's no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues." I said, "There ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. You see, my Lord Jesus, he done paid your dues. Sinner man, you tell me you're down and you're out. Well, let me tell you what life is all about. You don't have to stay there in your misery. By the stripes of Jesus, you've been set free." I said, "There ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. I said, there ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost blues. You see, my Lord Jesus, he done paid your dues." Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given, and the Holy Spirit is not depressed. I've read the gifts of the Spirit, and depression is not part of it. Oppression is not part of it. Possession is not part of it. I've got to sing when I don't want to sing. I've got to enforce when I don't want to enforce. When I feel everything is opposed to me, I said, "Wait a minute, I just read, Father, you said that you would not withhold the Holy Spirit from anybody that asked him. And when I got born again, I received the Holy Spirit." And then you said, watch this, it said, again, we weren't going there, but go to Ephesians chapter 5. Because you, many of you know this, but I want to remind you of it. Glory to God. In verse 18, 5:18, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled. Now watch how. How? Look at the next verse. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now watch this. It doesn't say this. "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself about all of your negative emotions and your negative things that are going on." If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you got to fill yourself with Him. "Be filled with the Spirit." Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. That has no bearing on it. But when we have to identify ourselves with what he went through. Paul said this, man. He said, "Listen, these light afflictions that I'm going through, nothing. It's nothing to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that I know that I'm in and that I'm going to be going into when I leave this earth. So this ain't nothing." Right? And I'm not, you know, up here mitigating your pain. I mean, it's real, but in the midst of the pain, we've got at some point just say, "Bring it. But I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to be filled with His Spirit. I can choose, watch this, according to this, I can choose. I don't have to go somewhere and have somebody pump me up, somebody do something, you know, extraordinary to me, be in the, you know, the room where I can be filled and be being filled with the Holy Spirit 24/7. But I have to choose it. I have to choose it. I have to choose it. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not saying that all of these circumstances come. And I'm not saying that pain doesn't hurt. And I'm not saying that grief is not real. But you know, even grief, and how many know that God understands when you lose somebody that you care for? He knows you're going through pain. Right? He knows that. And I'm not saying that you don't have grief, but the Bible says it this way. You don't grieve as those who have no hope. Right? It's your grief is different from their grief, because their grief is, I'll never see them again. They're gone. They're in my past, and their influence on me is over. My influence over them is over, and I have guilt of what I didn't do or what I should have said or all of that. They're in my past, right? But if you have hope and you know that they were saved also, they're not in your past. They're in your future. Glory to God, because we don't have or grieve as those who have no hope. We have grief, absolutely, but it's with the hope. Glory to God. I'm going to see them again. I'm going to see him again. So we have to come back to the place where I'm living my life filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether I feel like it or not, whether, come on, I'll just be honest with you. There have been days in here. There was a period on Wednesday nights where there would only be two people here. I'd be preaching to the camera, smiling, but two people here, right? And yet the Spirit of God was here. And I had to rejoice in the fact that, God, you've given me the opportunity, first of all, to touch people while they're sitting at home. This is crazy. I mean, this is so good that people are watching online and God is ministering to them when they can't be here. That's just so cool. But sometimes you have to encourage yourself in things. You got to. What does that mean? I got to talk to myself. I got to tell myself some things. Right? It's like this. Bruce, knock it off. Bruce, stop it. Bruce, quit whining. Why? Because I've been redeemed. I've been blessed. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm absolutely covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses my heart from all unrighteousness. God is in love with me. He so loved me that he sent Jesus for me. And oh my God, I just want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to thank you. It's a given, Lord. I don't deserve any of this. It's your mercy and your grace that's given it to me. And I'm going to rejoice in it anyway. That same place in James, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. I don't like trials. You know, and I'm going to paraphrase here. He said this, count it all joy. Why? Because in the midst of your trial, God's going to show up. And whatever you're going through, whatever it's, God is going to show up. If you'll put your mind, if you'll put your heart on Him, if you'll seek Him, if you'll begin to worship Him. Glory to God. I said all that to say that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, even if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit will show up. Yes. Glory to God. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now think about this and get this picture in your heart. Jesus had been raised from the dead. And he'd sat with them. He'd appeared to them. Came into the room with them, right? He was with them. He was in them, right? In the room. And they went fishing. He came back and he was by the shore. And so they'd seen him. They'd walked with him. They talked to him. What an experience that would be, right? But in Acts chapter 1, he's about to go and not come back, right? At least not on a regular basis. You know, he's still showing up. I said he's still showing up. There are testimonies from around the world in Muslim countries where they can't receive the gospel because it's illegal for them. But Jesus is showing up in people's homes. He's still showing up and saying, yeah, I'm the Jesus. I'm the one that you're persecuting. I'm the one that you're against. Jesus is still showing up today. But watch this. He said this. This is really incredible. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, if you think about this, what does baptism mean? It means to be immersed. It means to be immersed. Now, it's awesome to be in a hot tub and just dangle your feet over the edge, right? And just to feel that warmth, man, that's awesome. But when you slide down all the way in and you got the bubbles and the jets going, come on now. I mean, that come on, yeah. Woo, glory to God. How, if you can stand it, just get all the way under. Right? He said you'll be filled, completely immersed. John baptized with the repentance and all of that, but I'm going to baptize, not many days from now, with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They still didn't get it, but look at what he said in verse 7. It says, "And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times nor the season which the Father has put in his own authority." And I'm just going to deviate for just a second. That's still true today. I believe we're in the last days. I love all the signs. I love all of that stuff. But for us to be so consecrated, is he going to come here? Is the rapture going to happen there? Is he going to That's not the issue. Those are side issues. Those are in his hands. I don't see. Some people, they get into that and they get so afraid. They go, "Man, we got to go to the mountains. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this." And fear comes. Listen to me. Anytime you're consumed with fear, it's not God. Let me say that one more time. Anytime you're consumed with fear, it's a good sign that that's not God. Right? So I'm going to leave that in his hands. But watch this. He said, but, I like the word but, you shall, I shall, we shall, put your name there, I shall receive power. 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 What does that mean? That means a heavenly generator is coming to me. Right? With all the energy that I need to do whatever he asks me to do. Right? I mean, I could go into a long dissertation on the word power, but time won't allow me to this morning. But it's so good. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit was already with them. Because even when Jesus left, he breathed on them. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And he said, but there's coming a day, there's coming. But you shall. All of you that are here in the room and everybody that was in that room, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're going to talk in a minute out of Acts chapter 2 about being filled with the Spirit and speaking with tongues. But I do believe that speaking in tongues is one of the signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I don't think that's the real sign. I think the real sign is the power that you receive. And if you're not operating in that power, then you've just lessened what God wants to do in your life. Right. Ooh, glory to God. What does that mean? That means when I open my mouth, He fills it. Right. That means when He puts on my heart to speak to a waitress and you think, man, I don't want to do this. She's crowded. She's worked. But you do it anyway, that God uses you to do it. Whatever it is, wherever you are, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. But the purpose of that is to give me power for what? So everybody can come to me and see how great I am, and you know we're the first church of the anointed and all. No. It says you shall receive power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The reason for being filled with the Spirit is for God to use us to witness for Jesus. And not just with our words, but our lifestyles. Have you ever heard testimony of somebody that says, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different about you. There's something just different about you. Some people might say, well, you're just weird. Right? You're just weird. How come you're not acting like we're acting? How come you're not afraid? How come you're not sad? How come you're not depressed? You got a minute? Have you got a minute? I've told you this story before, but I'm working in the shipyard. We've been working 12-hour days for month after month after month after month. And we had one of our weekly safety meetings. And this was a chew-out safety meeting. We've been working and, you know, we got to do this, we got to do this, we're not doing this well, blah, 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 blah. And we went back to work and I was working with a fellow named Tom. And Tom looked at me and I'm just doing my work and smiling. He said, Dugan, what's... You were in the same meeting I've been in. You've been working the same amount of hours. You're as tired as I am. You're as, you know, everything. But what's different about you? You're always smiling. This is what I said to him. Deep theological. I said, Jesus? Jesus? That's the only explanation I have. Jesus? See, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of me. And I just got to let Him out every once in a while and just tell somebody about Jesus. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. Now, it didn't happen that day, but just a few days later, if you go to Acts chapter 2, and it says this, and we could get into why it was on the day of Pentecost and all that, but we're not going to do that this morning. But it said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there's significance to that, but when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who was there? All of those that Jesus said, wait or tarry in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait there because the Holy Spirit is coming. All of them were in the room going, we're waiting. We're waiting. Watch. He said, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, we'll receive Him. So we're here. We're waiting. We're in this room. And suddenly, There came from a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I like suddenlies. I said, I like suddenlies. But sometimes suddenlies don't happen instantaneously. Sometimes you have to wait on your suddenly. But you should be expecting your suddenly. Come on. Sometimes suddenly just doesn't, I mean, Lord, you can do that suddenly thing anytime. Right? I need to pay these bills, Lord. I need to do this. I need to do that. God, you understand what they're saying about me. Lord, suddenly, I could use a suddenly right now. What we have to do is be in one accord with one another and one accord in Him and be waiting on Him. And it will produce, come on, the atmosphere for a suddenly. Glory to God. I've had some suddenlies in my life. I said, I've had some suddenlies in my life. I'm going to have more. Yes. Amen. I'm going to have more. I'm going to have more. This church is going to have more. We're going to see more and more and more and more and more and more. Let me just tell you something that I might get to speaking in tongues. I might not. But watch this. I want to tell you that we decided that we needed to reach out to the community. But we're not doing that in our own power or gimmicks to try to trick people or produce something. We're just believing God to send us people who are hungry, who need a place to be in fellowship and to be with one another, right? Right? So we decided, and you know, some of the women and stuff, they come up with creative ideas that I go, okay, right, okay. So the women's group had this idea, we're going to get these styrofoam ring things like Christmas, and we're going to make 100 of them. And then right before Christmas, we're going to go out and we're going to give them to people and just invite them to our Christmas dinner. Well, Daryl and Jaquita are here because we did that. Right? Right? And God is using them to bless us and we're blessing them. And that's awesome, right? But it's because the Holy Spirit drew them to us and we went out, right? We went out and we had the power in us to be able to be attractive to them or at least to spark an interest. Let's check that out. Let's go to that church, right? Right? And so, again, the lady said, well, let's have a love feast. Awesome, let's do that. Let's do that. And what we're going to do is we're going to get these chocolate candy things with an invitation, and we're going to go out, and this time we're not going to do 100, we're going to do 120 or 125, whatever it was. And so we're going to go out. And watch this. You know how long this took both times? A half hour they were all dispersed. 1 half hour. Right? But we're believing God to touch the people who receive these. Well, this afternoon, now watch this. This is amazing to me. Super Bowl Sunday is today. Super Bowl Sunday is 3:30. It's going to be the big game. Everybody wants to watch the big game. We have 75 people signed up to come to the Love Feast. And several of them, I mean several of them, are from those little candy things with the invitations. Right? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He can give us creative ideas. He can give us. But when we go out, we need to believe and trust that the Holy Spirit is sending us. And if He's sending us, He's going to show us. Yes. That's the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. Watch this again now. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I know some of you have been in meetings where the presence of God came in, and it was just like, some people call it the Shekinah glory, but there was just a presence in there that you couldn't even talk about. And we've seen it over and over again here. We have. We've watched God's glory come into a place, but we haven't seen anything yet. I said we haven't seen anything yet because I think God's been merciful to the church, but He's getting ready, getting the church ready to be able to handle that much power. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Verse 3. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to give you an opportunity later if you've never received your prayer language to receive it, but I just want to give you a couple of instructional things within this verse. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If they didn't open their mouths, they would have never spoken. If they would have said, God, if you're going to fill me, you're going to have to make it come out. No, He gives you the utterance. He gives you the words, but you've got to give it the voice. Now watch this. It's like this. I'm saying things to you in English because they're in my brain, they're in my heart. But if I went, see, the utterance is here, but I've got to open my mouth. I've got to let air come out. I've got to use my lips, right? And if we understand, first of all, that God said, I'll give it to you. I'm a good father. I'll give it to you. And second thing is, if He gives it to me, all I got to do is open my mouth. He'll fill it and the words will come out. I don't have to think up the words. It's not a mental thing. It comes from inside. It's so awesome. But why should we speak in other tongues? Because speaking in other tongues is a prayer language where you're praying according to the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. In fact, go with me now. Well, let's look at a couple things and then we'll go. But in Mark chapter 16, it said that believers will speak in tongues. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they, you know, any touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. So Jesus promises, and then it was fulfilled here. But let's look at a couple of different places in Acts. If you'll go to, and I love this one, in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This is so cool. And let's start in verse 44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Now, here was the interesting thing. This was a fulfillment of a vision that Peter saw of all these unclean animals on a sheep that came down. And what it signified was, up to that point, they figured Jesus was for the Jews only. Did you know He's still for the Jews? Right? He's still working. He's still their Messiah. Still our Messiah. All the same, right? But He said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Not me, Lord. I've never done that. I won't eat anything unclean. That's not who I'm going to do. But out of obedience, He went. And I'm sure He was going, well, this isn't going to do much good. Right? I'm not, right? I'm going, but God, I mean, the Gentiles, they can't receive anything. So, and again, so cool. Verse 45, it says, and those of the circumcision, or those who were Jewish, who believed, were astonished. They went, whoa, what's happening? because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that awesome? Right? And you know what I love about this verse? And it works for me. I'll just say it that way. So they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. There's a place in worship, and especially my private worship time, where, you know, I'll sing in English. And Paul says it later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, I sing in the Spirit, or I pray in the Spirit, and I sing in the Spirit. Right? I pray with my understanding, and I sing with my understanding. But there'll be a time where I'll just turn it over to praying in the Spirit. And there's just a peace and a power that comes that's incredible. Right? But here's the thing. They heard them. And how did they know that they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Because they heard them praying in a prayer language that wasn't their own. And they were magnifying God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Now, this is a story of some believers, and they were believers in John's baptism, and they were seeking after Jesus. In verse 4 it says, and Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Oh, we could go so into this. It's so cool. They got filled with the Spirit, began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and then they began to give out inspired messages that God put on their heart. They didn't have to be in seminary for 20 years. They didn't have to, you know, pray for 20 years or fast for 20 years. They got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the power of God was on the inside of them, and immediately they were qualified to speak for God through the inspiration of God. I'm just saying that that's available to us too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I probably won't get this all done today, but we have next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And look at, well, let's just start in verse 1. I give the folks back there, don't they do a great job back there with the putting the screens up and everything? I just appreciate that so much. I give them all the verses that I'm going to go on, and then I mess it all up by doing something else. So they love me anyway. Verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And I'm just going to touch on this. Prophecy means speaking with inspired speech. It means being anointed by God. This doesn't mean that you're a prophet and you're going to say, on Tuesday, the Lord is coming at 12 noon, you better be at Denny's. There's a prophet's ministry, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about you being filled with the Holy Ghost and God putting English words into your mouth that you can speak to somebody else. And God can use you for that. But watch this, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What this means is when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, when you're using your prayer language, you're talking directly to God. Amen. You may not even know what you're thinking, but you're praying out. And this word mysteries means secrets. It means divine revelation that's on the inside of you. And you're speaking in praying and praying and praying, and you don't know what you're praying necessarily, but by faith you're praying it, and it's amazing what happens. I'll just tell you this for me personally. What it does for me is that it encourages me. It gives me just power on the inside the more I pray in the Holy Ghost. And the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, it seems like to me that the more the gifts of the Spirit operate in my life. Because there's a doorway that's opened up to me doing it. But watch this. This is so cool. Let's keep going. Verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edifies, that means to build up. Build up. And I love this definition. It's like charging your battery. Yep. Praying in the Holy Ghost charges your battery. Many of you know, and some of you don't understand it, but you know that on your car you have an alternator. And while you're driving, that alternator is putting a charge back into the battery. And if you know this, if that alternator goes out, you'll run on the battery for a little while, but if you don't get that alternator fixed, at some point you're going to be sitting on the side of the road because there's no power of electricity going into, right? It says this, that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. What does that mean? You're building yourself up. And in Jude 20, verse 20, it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in your prayer language builds you up. And you say, well, do you feel it all the time? Most of the time I feel nothing. Nothing. But it's like saying to that battery, hey, the alternator's working. Do you feel it? But here's the thing about a battery. A battery doesn't need to dispel its charge until the key's put in the car and you turn the key and the car starts. What am I saying? I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost. I may not be feeling anything right now, but the moment that I'm needed, the moment that it's needed, that power is right at the ready for it to be used by God. Amen. Right? Right? And I'm going quickly because I got to quit. But in Romans chapter 8, it says that we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. And you know that's true. Like you might say, come to me and say, you know, pray for me. You know, I've got this going on in my body. And you go, well, that's cool. I can pray for that. I'll pray for that. But you don't really know the source of it. But if you pray in the Holy Ghost can show you what the source of it is. One more story and then I'll get back to this and close. A friend of mine's dad was going in for surgery. This was way back, you know, in the early 70s, late 70s. And he was going in for brain surgery, which was really rare at the time. And there was an aneurysm that they were going to take out, right? And so I started praying for him. And I'm praying by my bed, kneeling for 45 minutes in the Spirit. I prayed for him in English. God help the doctors do all of that. And that's effective and that's good. And Lord, heal him and do all that. But for 45 minutes, I'm praying. And at some point, it became more intense to where it was almost groaning in prayer. But after that, a peace lifted. But during the prayer, I had such a pain right here in my head. It was intense. Intense. Lord, what's that? Oh, I'm praying. But the next day, he came through the surgery, and my friend was talking to me, and he said, yeah, the surgery went well. I said, yeah, let me tell you where the aneurysm was. It was right. How did you know? How did you know? Because I spent time praying in the Holy Ghost, building myself up, but storing that up to be used by God. Right? It's like, do you have to be filled with the prayer language and speak in tongues in order to be saved? No, you don't. Absolutely not. But this is such a tremendous gift. Why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want it? It's like saying, listen, no, I'm not going to go there. Listen, the Holy Spirit's the same. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's not somebody that's different. But it's just available to us. And God uses it tremendously. Tremendously to help us and to pray. And there are times in intercessory prayer, again, where we'll pray in English, but just something inside says that's not enough. And collectively we'll get together, we'll begin to pray in tongues. We'll pray in tongues together, and together collectively we'll be attacking that thing. But there will come a peace and we know that we've gotten the answer that we've wanted. Let me just... My wife's going to kill me. She's back there with the kids. Watch this now. I went to a Rhema Bible Training Center, and Kent Dad Hagen had seminars all over the place, but we had prayer meetings during the week for those that came up. And we'd pray and pray on the Holy Ghost for the anointing to fall and for all of that. But watch this. I remember the first time I heard him speak, I was up in Bellingham, and of all places, he was up at Western Washington Auditorium. I don't think they'd let him in now, but, well, they could because he's dead. But watch this. He prayed, watch this, he preached on falling under the power. Great sermon. And I thought, that's cool. And he gave an altar call. And I thought, well, you know, how many people are going to come up after that? It wasn't a sinner repent type of sermon. But the altars were full. They were full of people to get saved, full of people to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, full of people. How would that happen? Because he spent time and had his students and all of us praying for the anointing beforehand. So I haven't done that justice. I'll speak on it again. But if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're at home and you haven't, listen, all you have to do is ask for it. Right? I mean, we can lay hands on you, and that's awesome, but I can't lay hands on you through the camera. Right? But all you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, I believe this is for me. I want it. I'm going to ask you for it. And then close your eyes. Believe that God is going to speak through you. Open your mouth. Don't speak English. But just allow the Holy Spirit to just give you the words, and it'll flow out of you. Seen it over and over and over again. It's a very good and awesome blessing. But let's close. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for the people that have heard your word today. We want to be used by you, and you've already given us the power to be used. So even tonight, when we're going into the love feast, Lord, all of the guests who come, open our lips and open our hearts to speak to them, to bless them, to touch them. Put words in our mouths, Father, in order for that to happen, Lord. And we just thank you for being a blessing, and we just give you all the praise. Father, if there's anybody watching who needs healing in their body, you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the sick would recover. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to bodies, I'm speaking to minds, I'm speaking to emotions. In Jesus' name, I'm releasing the healing power of God into you. Just receive it right now by faith, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just open your heart up to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and say, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.